call the Board of Supervisors to session. Supervisor Aubrey, will you lead us to the flag, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain Brandon.
Father, we're grateful to be here today, and first of all, we want to give thanks for the rain, and we pray there'll be more coming, and truly it's an encouragement to us to see this in our area. Father, as we meet today, as business is conducted for the county, I appreciate the citizens being able to be involved, and we're reminded of what a privilege that is for us as we see things around the world and people not having any choices. God, I pray for those who present today. I pray for those who listen. Give understanding. Give wisdom in decision making. Thank you for our Board of Supervisors, and thank you for all those who serve in our county. And may we always be reminded that we are servants to those who support us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We'll do a roll call.
Okay. Supervisor Kopsap.
Here.
Supervisor Howe, sorry.
Okay,
I've got you guys switched. In my mind, you're still backwards. Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Thank you. And the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, County Service Area Number 4, and the Airport Land Use Commission, and receives no additional compensation.
And do we have anything for the agenda?
Through the chair, yes. There is a urgency item which came to the attention of myself and other county officials after posting the agenda, and therefore pursuant to 54945. I'm sorry, let me say it again. 54954.2B2. I ask that be added to the closed session agenda as an exposure to litigation.
Wishes of the board.
So moved.
Second. Roll call vote.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsap.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Thank you.
Through the chair.
Yes.
I can make a motion for urgency item be added to closed regarding the ongoing and ever-changing, I guess, rate negotiation for Fox Canyon Dam. There are significant processes occurring that I've uncovered in the last week after the agenda was posted that have economic impact that we need to address.
And the basis for it being in closed session would be that exposure litigation, just negotiations. Okay. Yeah.
And that was a motion?
That was a motion.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Excuse me, Supervisor Kopsap?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
I guess.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be late.
And I'll get paperwork on that later, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Anything else to add to the agenda or anything like that? None? All right. We'll do presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. And we'll do public comment now. Mr. Max Steiner, and then after Mr. Max Steiner, we'll have Mr. Bob Singleton and Phil Anson.
Good
Hi, so for Chris, my name is Max Steiner. I'm the Democratic candidate for Congress here in District 1. I just wanted to come up and introduce myself to the people of Siskiyou. And obviously, every time a Democrat comes to Siskiyou, it rains, so that's great. But no, listen, I'm a combat veteran. I'm a centrist Democrat. I'd love to do a lot more on forestry. My brother lost his house to the car fire in Reading 2018. It's newly rebuilt, so that's fine. Obviously, we lost paradise near where I live in Chico. You know, we need to go back to aggressive initial attack. We need to do a lot of thinning. We need to restart biomass. But there's a lot that we can do and that I'd like to do as your congressman. So that's why I'm up here. And, you know, if anyone in the public wants to draw me a line, they've got a pressing issue, got a lot of business cards, I'd be happy to talk. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Steiner. Mr. Singleton and Mr. Anzo, and then after them will be Ms. Holly Hanser. Thank you, Mr. Steiner.
Good morning. I'm Bob Singleton. I'm with the Fallen Heroes Memorial Project that we've had going on in, down by the Reed desktop, and we want to do a little presentation, tell you what we are and what we're doing, and maybe request some assistance.
Hey, good morning. Phil Anzo. I'm the Cal Fire Unit Chief here in Kidd County, also the County Fire Warden. As you guys know, the Fallen Heroes Memorial Project started as the retired supervisor Bill Hoy's vision for a firefighter memorial. He started the process by procuring the CDF air tanker 94 that's at the Weed Airport right now. And that idea, that vision has blossomed into a Fallen Heroes Memorial Project that includes not only the fire service, but also military and law enforcement personnel. And the idea is to honor those folks that have died in the line of service for their service to their county and their local government and their state and nation. A couple things we just wanted to brief you on are just the agencies that are involved in this whole project. We've got county personnel involved from the Department of General Services, the airport specifically. We've also got the county sheriff involved. And we've got the Siskiyou County Veterans Leadership Council involved, which Bob is a representative of. We've also got CHP, Caltrans, and Cal Fire, obviously. So we've got a myriad of folks involved in a dedicated committee membership that is moving this project forward. We wanted to talk to you about some of the things we've accomplished so far. We were able to get the CEQA, first and foremost, making sure that our environmental compliance is there. We were able to install a new fence line on the portion where the pathway is, where you'll be viewing the aircraft and memorial plaques. We've got silhouettes representing, two silhouettes representing each of the different agencies. Up on that fence line, we've got directional signs that are purchased for the freeway and so that you can understand where you're going to get off to the rest area and actually view the memorial. We've got a log sign that's going to go in place there at the entrance of the memorial. We've got two 25-foot flagpoles purchased, and they're being stored, and the footings have been poured. We've got three granite tablets, large granite tablets, which I think are 7 by 4 foot tall, and they've been engraved with each of the different agencies and a statement from those agencies. They've been stored for quite some while, but the footings have been poured for those also. And we've got the anchor frames and the pedestals poured and installed for the two helicopters that are going to be installed in the future. We've also got our website up and running, www.siskiyoufallenheroesmemorial.com. Just two challenges I wanted to advise you of are the ADA pathway that we're working on. We're working closely with Caltrans because that pathway must meet ADA compliance because it comes down on the Caltrans property and allows you to come down to the area to view the memorial site. And one of the bigger challenges that we're facing due to the untimely death of Tony Ginocchio, one of our very active members. He was very resourceful. He was our logistics individual. He had found us two helicopters to install on those pedestals. But with his passing, we have lost contact with where those coppers are, and we have not been successful in relocating them. So we are in the process of searching for those copters to replace those, and we ran into some problems. They're very expensive if we go out to purchase them. So what our thought was is try to utilize the Federal Excess Property Program, the Federal Surplus Program, in order to try and retrieve those from a federal agency that no longer needs them. One of the issues, though, is that we need a local government agency to procure that for us. And we found that the county was in the FEPP program before, but they are no longer in it. So we will need to renew that at some point in time if we have the support of the board and the county to further this project. That was really what we wanted to tell you about real quickly. We didn't want to waste too much of your time, but we will be back next month with a little bit more in-depth presentation and an official request possibly to provide an application on behalf of the county to the FEPP program.
Three minutes more.
Yes. Ms. Wendy, did you just raise? Chief Anzo, thank you. Mr. Singleton, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for working with me. Absolutely.
Yep. So, since Davis, so I don't know which department would take on that procurement application. Would it be General Services because it's airport related, or how would that work?
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Within my office, we have Anna Hendricks. Okay. Who is our county procurement officer.
Okay.
And we will work in conjunction with General Services and whomever the other stakeholders are that will make sure that that we are registered with the FAA.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And then Ms. Holly answered, and after that, Mr. Shimon. Ms. Holly?
Chairman and everyone here. This morning I sent you all an email, and if you choose to download the link, do not download it on your cell phone because there's a lot of files on there. And if you have a home computer, that's the place where you can download it, look at it, put it on your picture thing, you can see. And what I gave you is a data visualization, very easy to understand charts from Tesla Laboratories, which is Javon Hutton Pulitzer's company, on the Arizona audit. There was going to be 20 downloads and complete. If I were to go to the printing company, which I may, you guys would all get a stack pretty high, 7 of them, so maybe next month. So this is important for us because it shows that all things aren't as they seem. Even though our election clerks and our people are wonderful and nice and everything, there are things that can happen with artificial intelligence, AI, that this thing show how like 1 out of 8 ballots in a certain area was doctored with by artificial intelligence, whereas in 2016, it was a lot different. So there's a very short video that goes along with it that tells you how to read those charts. Very, very simple that even I can understand, but there's a lot. So I hope that you guys won't be prejudiced against me or someone who has a receding hairline like Javon Hutton Pulitzer, But he is definitely he's seen every single ballot in Maricopa County, and we use the same voting systems, as I understand, as that county. So this isn't against anybody personally. It's just I'm asking to get on the agenda, and I'll try to figure out how, so that we can make an order to reserve our ballots from the 2020 election and everything to do with our 2020 election, as well as the recall, just so that when we realize that, yeah, we should look into it here, just to prove that no AI or anybody messed with others down in Sacramento or God knows where. And yeah, Los Angeles is probably more corrupt. Maybe there was nobody doctored with us our stuff at all. I mean, not nobody, but AI, artificial intelligence. And so so I want to have the ballots that you guys somehow figure out to preserve the ballots beyond September 3rd, 2022, so many months, so that we have that opportunity to look at it and make sure that our election and our election services were squeaky clean. Thank you.
Ms. Holly, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for the compliment for County Clerk, too.
Yeah, it's not against anybody personally. And the other day she walked by and I said, I couldn't remember her name. And I go, oh, there's Miss America. And I think she might have thought that I was insulting her, but I didn't mean it. I just said, I like her, you know, I'm just saying hi. And she has a very important role. So anyway, this is now. Thank you. Bye.
I'm Mr. Chanel.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Brian Shinoni, Director of OES here for Siskiyou County. I just wanted to give a brief update this weekend. I'm sure you probably got an alert or two. We did have some fires in the county, and a little too early for our liking, but we did have two fires. We had the Evergreen Fire that was Highway 97 north of Weed, northwest of Weed. Ended up being 12 acres and did initiate evacuation warnings and orders, so those were very concerning to us. We were able to implement those very quickly and roll out our zone haven and a few other alerts that we needed to push out to the public. Additionally, we also had the Gulch Fire by Doris, and that was southeast of Doris, 113 acres. Officially, it's 75% contained, but with the rain and CAL FIRE's got a good hose lay around it and good line around it, it's not going anywhere. So I just wanted to update the fact that it is March, middle of March, and we are now in fire season. So we were the first northern, well, I guess Flanagan Fire counts too, but we did see a good push on those, especially with the wind and the driving force of those fires. So I will open it up to you if you have any questions.
Well, I know Inyo County just had a big fire also.
Inyo, yes.
So I'm always curious. I appreciate the update, but what's the cause? You know, I mean, at least the initial assessment on what, I mean, my wife happened to be out like Justinic, was going by, was windy as all get out. So I'm just curious what...
Still under investigation.
Yeah, that's the stuff. That doesn't do me any good. I hate to say it, I get the protocol, but, I get calls, what caused the fight? You know,
right.
There's no... You don't want to make an assumption, but
right?
We should know. Right?
We should, and there are some leads that we are pushing for. So maybe
for me, somewhere down the line, that information comes out, but it never gets back to us.
Excellent. All right, I will make sure that gets pushed. Absolutely.
Supervisor Copsett.
So as we head into this, a few weeks ago, I got a call from a resident that somebody had been burning, and it was a windy day, and the question was, and I called, our ag commissioner to find out how to better communicate, but, our messaging for a burn day is either, I guess, it's a burn day, it's a neutral day, or it's a no burn day. How do we raise the bar technology-wise that it's more instant and online? I know the permits describe what you can and can't do, but even if you do those things, things can still go awry. But where I'm headed with this is, since it's only March, and this call that I got was back in February,
I know what you're saying. Yeah. We're working on it right now.
But do we actually say here at a point, no burn, period? I mean, now it's raining, and we might get rain now through April, which would be great.
Fantastic.
Which changes the whole dynamic, but...
So the majority of the fires that are happening throughout Northern California, Southern California is a little bit different. This is their fire season. So Northern California typically does not see a fire season right now. Most of the fires, I don't know the percentage, but most of them are skate burns that people are burning on windy days when they have no business burning, and that's causing these out-of-control wildfires that just should not be happening right now. There's certainly something we were sitting down and talking about, because this can't continue to press like this. There's going to be better consequences if everything's burned up before fire season gets here. So,
thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So I'm aware of the details of from someone who was on site, a neighbor, not an official, of the escape in Scott Valley, down Scott River.
Yes.
I would caution folks that just because you have a burn permit, please read the details.
Absolutely.
Because the details are after you conduct your burn, you're not allowed to leave it. And in this case, it wasn't properly checked, a pile. And the individual took off for somewhere, and while they were gone, the wind came up, and guess what? They hadn't gone through the basic firefighter test of putting their hands through the ashes to find out whether it was still hot, and it was, and it took off, and ran up the hill. So, you know, just because you put water on it doesn't mean that
we're seeing so much of that right now.
Yeah. And you know, statistically speaking, historic standpoint, I know with the former agency I worked with, the number one cause of escape burns was smoldering clouds, even on public lands.
Yeah. And that's if you get a permit. There's
right.
people out there that don't, that may just check or call and say, is this a burn day or not?
Right.
If it's
absolutely.
A burn day, they just burn. So that's why something more immediate online would be real helpful so that you're not going to catch everybody that's going to get a permit.
Yeah. We'll see my face as well as our fire warden's face on the, as well as the sheriff's face online very soon, pressing this issue, because this can't keep happening. Right.
So just real quick, Supervisor brings up a good point. I think his initial assessment is we got to raise the bar on, because this is going to be another bad year.
Absolutely.
And so anything we can do on the prevention side, and I'm talking about the human cost.
Absolutely.
That's going to save this county a lot of grief.
Who really wants to
and
be
so I know that appreciate your fire.
Yeah.
But we collectively, because I think I did call about someone's complaining about the burn day phone thing.
Yes.
Yeah, so we just have to do that.
Absolutely. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Board.
Through the chair,
absolutely.
I will say sorry. The local fire safe councils are really ramping up. The meeting that I was on last week, the Siskiyou Fire Safe Council.
Yes.
Was huge. It was the biggest attendance they've ever, ever had.
Absolutely. I love that.
So I applaud their efforts for public outreach and everything that we all do that are members to try to boost the attendance there. It was amazing. And I think the public is really paying attention to what's going on right now and how severe this drought is and how important fire safety really is. I don't think we're ever going to reach everybody, and I don't think we're ever going to make this point to everybody, but just seeing that was amazing. That was really encouraging for me, and I'm sure it was for you,
right,
too.
Right, absolutely.
So I think we are making an effort, and I think that was very encouraging for some of us that were there. But there's a lot of work to be done, so I appreciate everything you're doing out there to try to make it happen. I know it's a never-ending job.
Thank you. Yeah, so, and I think just to touch on that, we have done a really good job, especially with this last fire season. Every part of the county was touched by one form or another fire, so everyone is familiar with that, and it's you know, pardon the pun, but it's hot on their minds right now, and that's certainly where we're going to go and capture that. So, thank you.
Sure. Yeah, Supervisor Howe.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but I know. So, from a public safety standpoint, I happened to have the opportunity to drive by the homeless camp next to the COS Thursday evening. It was after dark, and I get the warming fire thing. However, what I saw were two fires that had 10-foot flame lengths. That's a public safety threat that has to be addressed. And I brought up the attention of CAL FIRE and Supervisor Ogren, and I know CAL FIRE was going to talk to the Wairika City Fire Department, but Wairika City Council needs to step up too here and address what could be another Bowles fire. Right here in your backyard. And that happens to be on the south end of town, right where the prevailing winds come right into the city of Wairika.
Right.
I can't imagine anybody ignoring that.
Yes, that was definitely a concern. I saw that a few weeks ago when it was colder. I drove by there in the evening and saw the exact same thing. So, very concerning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Warren.
Any public comments from online again?
Showing online this time.
All right. Wishes of the board on consent agenda?
I wish to pull 5B.
5B. Seeing nothing else being pulled, wishes of the board for the rest of it?
Move to approve.
Second. Roll call.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. Supervisor Cobbsett?
Thank you, Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. After the posting of the agenda, it came to my attention that this letter should be addressed to the California Fish and Game Commission, and so the edits to that letter are to reflect that it's addressed to the Fish and Game Commission. I believe you all have redline versions, and there's one here for the public, so those are the changes.
One other part where it says subject, it has United States, I think you strike that as well, and just start with petition, is that correct?
On the subject line, it
yeah.
says Humane Society of the United States petition to the California Department
yeah.
of Fishing
yeah.
Wildlife Black Bears opposition.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Because it is
okay.
it is
petition.
The Humane
okay.
Society's petition
okay. gotcha.
To the Fish and Game Commission.
Okay. Never mind. Sorry.
Wishes of my colleagues?
Move to approve. Second.
Okay.
As amended.
As amended.
As amended.
As amended, correct. Thank you. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.